From fork to government, tacos to taboos, the English language is packed with words that we've borrowed from other languages. Latin and Greek, French and German, Japanese and Tongan. We've been adding loan words for centuries.
Philip Durkin tells the story of these words in his new book, Borrowed Words, A History of Loan Words in English. He's deputy chief editor of the Oxford English Dictionary. Philip, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello.
So we just heard a sampling of some of the loanwords that we've borrowed here in English. What is the biggest source of loanwords that we know of?
The biggest source numerically is Latin, and closely followed by French. And in fact, the numbers for Latin and French overlap, because quite a lot of words show some input from Latin and some input from French as well. So those absolutely top the numbers. If you're looking at a very big dictionary, like the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, or if you're looking at the average sort of collegiate level dictionary as well, in the full list of words in the dictionary in your hand, then the majority of the words borrowed from other languages will come from Latin and French.
And that comes from what? Latin being the church language, and then 1066 and all that when the Normans invaded England?
Yeah, precisely. And it's very interesting, actually, if you start to think about the words that are most frequent in modern English. If you look at, say, the 1,000 most frequent words in modern written English, if you look at a corpus of data, which is the sort of thing linguists do these days, then you find that actually in those 1,000 most frequent words, nearly half of them have been borrowed from Latin or French or a bit from both. And nearly all of those, by far the biggest proportion, came into English in the period between the Norman Conquest and about 1500, so the Middle English period, the medieval period. And that's a period when culture in England was, in an interesting way, trilingual, because there was very little official writing happening in English. Pretty much everybody had English as their first language, their language of the home, their mother tongue. But they would learn French at a very early stage and then acquire Latin through French. So French would be the first language learned at the sort of song schools, the first schools that people who were destined to become literate would attend. And then they would acquire Latin through the medium of French. And this is something that carried on until roughly the time of the Black Death. And this had an enormous impact on the way people wrote and the way people thought, and the language that they used for official purposes. So about time I started to give you some examples, isn't it? So this is the period in which we find that words that are part of the everyday language today, like, say, age or arrive or defense or court, are coming into English from French. Some words from Latin, like case or election or evidence, those words probably come partly from Latin, partly from French. And then a little bit later, we have words like agree, number, money, language, client, idea, individual, private. The sorts of words that we need to formulate pretty basic ideas and concepts in English today, which all came flooding into the language from French and Latin in that period.
As far as existing languages go, English has always seemed like a bit of a magpie to me. Is that right? Is English more likely to borrow than other languages?
I think with an awful lot of hedges and an awful lot of qualifications, basically, yes. It's very hard to make these comparisons between languages. You have to be very careful how you set the goalposts, what exactly you're going to compare. But the work that scholars have done trying to compare basic vocabulary across languages around the world, English tends to come out pretty high, not quite the highest, but higher than average in the amount of borrowing that's got through even into the everyday language, let alone the language of learning and science.
We've seen some countries make a conscious effort to preserve their language and its purity, and I'm thinking, I know France has done this on and off over the years. I don't know if there's been that kind of official effort ever in English. Has that helped maintain that inflow of loanwords?
Certainly, what you would call language purism, trying to protect the language from foreign borrowings, has rarely been very important in the history of English. But it's questionable how much of an impact that has for any language. In France, certainly, you have the Academy proposing words that should be used for new concepts, suggesting that you should be using, I think it's right to say réseau rather than internet, or to say ordinateur rather than computer or computer. But I think that in actual French use, the borrowed words are getting much more traction in that area. So it's a bit questionable how far that sort of language purism really has a big effect on the language use of real people.
Are there parts of society that are more likely to glom on to loanwords, maybe the scientific community, the culinary, the academic?
Yes, I think you've hit on three of the biggest ones there. The academic is interesting because I think that if you look at the numbers of new words coming into English from other languages compared with the numbers of new words being created within English, over the last couple of centuries, we do seem to be on something of a downward trend, actually, in borrowing. There are still many, many new words coming into English, and a lot depends on whose English you're talking about. So different contact situations around the world, different individuals will have a different set of loanwords in their language coming from other languages that they have contact with, that the culture they're living in has contact with. But still, there does seem to be a decline happening from the late 1800s through to the present day. And I think that has a lot to do with the changing language of learning, that if you look at scientific publication, technical publication in all sorts of areas in the 1800s through to the early 1900s, then French and German were really leading languages of publication. And you find that many scientists were coining their new words in French and in German, and they were getting borrowed from those languages into English and into other languages. And today, English is becoming much more the predominant language of scientific publication. But in fact, some of those words are words that you might not at first glance think of as being French or German. For instance, oxygen is a word that's formed from Greek elements that originate in the Greek language, but it was coined by French scientists in the late 1700s. And it was borrowed from French oxygen into English and into other European languages. Another example would be ozone, the name of the gas, which was borrowed from German into English and into other European languages because it was discovered by a German scientist who named it in German, but he named it using elements that originate in Greek. So its first element is from the ancient Greek verb ozdein, to smell, because ozone has a particularly sharp odor, and that gave rise to its name. But he coined it in German, and certainly in the Oxford English Dictionary, we would regard that actually as a German word borrowed into English.
I wonder if we could somehow magically strip out all the words English has borrowed over the years. Would we be able to have a conversation apart from maybe something about plowing crops and repelling Vikings?
It would be pretty difficult. You mentioned the Vikings there, did you?
Yes. They brought us some, didn't they?
Sorry?
The Vikings brought us some words, too?
They certainly did. And actually, quite small in number, but if you drill down to look at, say, the 100 most frequent words in modern English, then there's quite a number of words that came in from early Scandinavian, from the language of the Vikings that later developed into Norwegian, Danish, Swedish. So we have words like to get, to take, to give, like, or to want. And most amazingly of all, the pronoun they. So if we say we or you, we're using words that go right back to the earliest origins of the English language. But if we use they, we're using a word that was borrowed into English from Scandinavian. The Anglo-Saxons said here, a word that isn't related for they, and they came in from the language of the Scandinavian Viking settlers in very close communication with Anglo-Saxons, and it slowly spread to become the usual word for they throughout all of English, which is quite amazing influence from another language, and that is really rare around the languages of the world, actually. Borrowing of pronouns and borrowing of core grammatical words is a really rare phenomenon.
Very interesting. Philip, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
That was Philip Durkin, Deputy Chief Editor of the Oxford English Dictionary. His new book is Borrowed Words, A History of Loanwords in English.